Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
I'm going to go to the Gospel of John this morning, chapter 14. And what are you going to teach on? Well, I think I'm going to start a series. We'll just see. You know, the Lord could change it, but I just do what I'm instructed to do. And so I feel like this is going to be a little bit of a series. I don't know how long. And I'm going to call it The Holy Spirit, Our Teacher. And talk about how the Holy Spirit will teach you if you're open to receive from Him. Let's go John, you got it? John 14, verse 26, the Bible says, I'm reading now the King James here, it says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. So we know who that is, right? I said, right? Now, the New King James uses the word where that says comforter. It's a Greek word, parakletos, and it means a lot of things. But one of the things the New King James says is the helper. Amen. The helper. He's our helper. Amen. And I found out once you get born again, the Holy Spirit moves inside and starts helping you if you'll let Him. Amen. We need all the help we can get. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. You know what? The more help you get, the better off it is. I remember one, you know, Phyllis and I have moved a lot of times since we've lived here in this area. We moved here in the area in 1995, and we've moved several times, you know, some houses we leased, some houses were ours that we sold. And I remember the first move that we, when we first, I think it was the first move, maybe this is the second move, but anyway, I remember we had a lot of young guys that were coming to the church at the time. We were in that first building in Newburgh, you know, they were in their early 20s, you know, had muscles, big arms, you know. Hunk-looking guys that like to show off a little bit. Man, I remember that move. They came over to help us. Man, I let them show off. I'll bet you guys can't lift that. Oh, man, we got that, Pastor. I'm just sitting there watching them carry it all to the truck, you know. Helpers, hallelujah. Amen. You know, I wasn't that old. I was only in my 30s at the time, so I could still do it, you know. I still had it. I still got it, whether you know it or not. Just don't mess with me, amen. I don't know what I got, but I got something, all right? But anyway, you know, the Holy Spirit, when you get saved, He comes in to help. Amen. You know, the King James says comforter. Well, he's a, that word actually, parakletos, I don't know if I'm saying it right, but parakletos, it actually means comforter, consoler, advocate, you know, like a lawyer, you know, one that gives aid to you. So you can get the word helper out of that. So He comes to help us, praise God. But notice what He does. But the Comforter, or the Helper, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. Amen. So how many know He'll come and He'll teach you? Yeah. I said He'll teach you. Yes. All things whatsoever the Word says. Amen. Amen. And he's a teacher. He's a teacher that will come and teach you everything. Now, you know, you think about that. You know, how many understand? He's going to be the greatest teacher you could ever find. You know, I remember school, you know. I mean, I had teachers I liked. Some I didn't care so much for, you know. But some were good. Some were, you know, not so good. I remember, you know, when I was in eighth grade. Sorry, I'll get it. We had an English teacher, and I mean, she just wasn't there. You know, she just didn't want to be there. I mean, it's obvious she didn't want to be there. I mean, she just basically not teach a whole lot, you know, and sometimes just leave class and be gone, you know, for periods of time, you know. And so I don't know if all of us failed English, but, you know, I guess they gave us some kind of competency test before we went into high school. And I guess I must not have been that competent in English. I'm still not that competent in English. I'm better than I used to be, but I'm still learning. But anyway, when I got to high school, I was in this special ed class for English. I don't know how I even got there. Nobody told me I failed. Nobody told me. But I think this, a lot of that class just failed because she was a bad teacher. But the Holy Spirit's a good teacher.
Amen.
Amen. And He will teach you all things. All things. Now, you know, how many know, maybe you've heard this before, you know, people, and it's still something that people have to deal with. People say, well, you know, I believe God sent sickness to teach you. Well, you know, the Bible says the Holy Spirit teaches you all things. It didn't say anything about sickness teaching you anything. It said the Holy Spirit does. So it's not sickness that's teaching you anything. It's the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. When I got born again, He moved inside there. Praise God. Came right in and began to teach me and began to give me revelation. And unless, you know, people say, well, I can't understand the Bible. You can when the Holy Spirit helps you. Now, you got to understand, you know, there's different translations of the Bible. Maybe some are a little easier to read than others. But I didn't know there was anything but the King James, which I still use today and I still like. I think it's a really good translation. And so, but you know, there are old words in there that as a hippie, I'd never read. Yeah, I remember reading. I remember when it hit me. You know, I was laying in my bedroom. I was laying on the bed and I was reading 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I forget what verse it is, but it says, to wit. And then there's another word, to wot, wot, W-O-T, I wot not. When I read that word, I thought, I wot not, that is. You know, but how many know the Holy Spirit can help you? Right? And you know, and I'll tell you why some people don't, you know, they have trouble with the Bible because they're just lazy. You know, you can go find out what W-O-T means. And it was a lot harder in those days to find out what W-O-T means than it is today. All I got to do is ask Alexa today. And she don't know, she'll tell you something else. But anyway, a lot of times she knows. And I'll say, what's this mean? She'll tell me, you know. Well, I mean, in those days, I used to study out of and use a Strong's Concordance. And I mean, you had to be in your 30s to get that thing off the shelf.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is so big. I mean, if you're in your 60s like I am now, you don't go get that thing off the shelf. I'm not touching it, you know. So, but today I don't have to. It's all right there on my iPad, you know. So thank God for that. But, you know, the Holy Spirit began to teach me. I'm talking about a hippie that came off the streets doing drugs, snorting stuff up my nose, you know. I never injected anything with a needle because I didn't like shots, but every other way you could take it, I took it. That was my lifestyle. And the Holy Spirit gets a hold of me, and in 4 months, I'm preaching the gospel to people who've been serving God for 40 years. What happened? People started having me come to their church, like, look at this. He got 4 months old, and he's preaching. And I don't mean 4 months old physically. 4 months old spiritually. 7 months old, I was invited to go teach a leadership conference in Texas. 7 months old. In the Lord. I probably had no business there. 1 year old, I was associate pastor of a church. 1 year. They had no sense either putting me in there. But anyway, at least I'd learned enough to teach some people something. Amen. Why? Because just listening to the Holy Spirit, He began to bring revelation to me and teaching to me. And I began to receive from His ministry and He began to impart things to me. And of course, He used people. But you know, listen, it doesn't matter what kind of truth people say to you. If the Holy Spirit's not teaching you, you're not going to learn a thing. You ever read in John? John talked about it this way, 1 John. There's a scripture in there that people get confused about. It says, but the anointing which you've received of Him abides in you. And you need not that any man teach you, but that same anointing will teach you all things. Amen. And so we said, well, that says we don't need anybody to teach us. Well, you know that. Listen, when you think something says something that doesn't make any sense in the Bible, then you need to rethink it. Because it doesn't make any sense for God to say, no man, you don't need any man to teach you. And then He put teachers in the fivefold ministry and sent them in the church. And gave us all kinds of fivefold ministry gifts to teach us. If you have to read the context, He's talking about deception there, deceivers in 1 John chapter 2. And He gets there and He says, you don't need any man teach you, but you got an anointing in you that teaches you. He's talking about in deception, in the area of deception. What He's simply saying is simply this. Man, you don't need man to be the ultimate source of your truth, the final source of your truth. If you do that, you're going to get in trouble because man's not a source of truth. Jesus is the source. He said, I'm the truth. The Holy Spirit's the Spirit of truth. The Bible says, thy word, talking about God's word is truth. So man's not a source of truth. He has to get his truth from one of those sources if he has any truth. That's why our culture is in such a mess, because people are teaching instead of the Holy Spirit teaching. There is no truth outside. Listen, you know, just like evolution, when I was a kid, in school, they called it, I don't know if they call it this any longer, but they called it the theory of evolution, which means it wasn't a proven fact. And you know, I like Brother Hagin's definition of a theory. I've said this many times, but Brother Hagin gave the best definition of a theory I ever heard. He said, a theory is a supposition established upon ignorance of the subject under discussion. A theory is a supposition established upon ignorance of the subject under discussion. Basically, what it means, if you knew what you were talking about, it would not be a theory. There is no theory. There is no theory of gravity. It's a fact we can prove today. If we can get you up, if you get up on this building, we can prove it to you. We throw you off. Guess what? You won't float up. Why? Because that's not a theory. We're not guessing. We're not supposing that you're going to hit the ground. We know you're going to hit the ground. Charles Kapp said one time, him and his brother Rex, you know, I love this story, we told this. He said him and his brother Rex decided that they were going to make wings and get up on the barn and fly down to their cousin's house. So he said, you know, we made wings out of cardboard, you know, we climbed up on the barn, you know, Rex got up there first, and because he was the oldest, and he jumped off the barn and he went, you know what happened? He went straight down. So Charles said, Rex, why didn't you flap your wings? He said, I didn't have time. So Brother Cap said he got up there, you know, and the same thing happened. Why? Well, they didn't have all the laws of lift working in their behalf. See, they didn't have the thrust. They might have had the wings, but you got to have some thrust behind it, you know, to keep the thing going. And so there's things that are theories that the world's pushing as truth, but the Holy Spirit and the Word of God and Jesus are the truth. Amen. If it doesn't match the character of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not the truth. If it's not found in the Word of God, it's not the truth. If you don't have the witness of the Holy Spirit, it's not the truth. And so all John was saying is, look, you don't need man to be the... He wasn't saying you don't need Bible teachers and preachers. He was saying you don't need man to be the... You don't need to let man be the ultimate source of your truth or you're going to get in trouble because man's not a source of truth. I.e. Jim Jones. Anybody remember Jim Jones, guy in the town? And the death of 700 and some people that drank, you know, poison Kool-Aid? Well, did you know Jim Jones was a Pentecostal preacher from Indiana? Absolutely. And at one point, he was probably on track, but he began to get off away from the Word of God. He began to get away from the Holy Spirit, and he began to get away from the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, just because, you know, I heard Fred Price say, he said, you know, he was there in California, and Dr. Price said, I went to one of his services. He said, they sang the hymns like we sang. He said, it was electric in those meetings. It was something in the air. It was electric. Well, you know, there's something called a false anointing. It's not the real thing. It's of the devil. And so he had that, you know, people followed him. But see, if people just would have read their Bibles. Dr. Price said, I heard him. He said, I was in the service. He's talking about the Bible. Jim Jones, that is, said, you know, you don't need this. I've got truth. Well, how many know, you should have been smart enough to laugh right then. See, because man's not that's what that verse is talking about. You don't need any man to be your ultimate source of truth. See, everything I preach, you should be able to find it in the Bible. Why? Because that's the ultimate source. Amen. You know, you ever gone to a service and something just didn't feel right? I mean, you didn't know, but something just don't feel right inside. Well, that's the Holy Ghost warning you. Amen. Now, all right. Now, let's go to John 16. Go over there. Come on, are you getting something this morning?
Amen.
We're just getting started here. John 16, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. He's our teacher, not sickness. You know, people have said, well, you know, Pastor, when I was sick or I had this tragedy, I learned something. Well, let me say this about God. God will use things that He doesn't even want you to have. He'll try to get blessing to you out of anything. You know, I've heard people say, well, you know, when I was in the hospital, I led the nurse to the Lord, so I know God wanted me in there. Well, did you know you can go in that hospital anytime you want to and lead anybody to the Lord? You don't have to be sick going there. I go in them all the time, and I haven't been in one myself since I was 12 years old. Right, well, it was the worst hotel I ever stayed in. Tell you, they charged too much for the room. They woke you up in the middle of the night. And don't you dare ask for anything, because they'll charge you for it, big time. You know the bear aspirin you can get, you know, for $1.50? you know, the bottle, they'll charge you $600 for it there. So I don't recommend going there, all right? Unless you just have to, don't go there. But, you know, people will say stuff like that, like, well, you know, I went in the hospital when I was in the hospital and I led people to the Lord. Well, God used you while you were there. Aren't you glad He did? But He's not teaching you out of that. He didn't plan to put you in there. Amen. So maybe you got sick, you learned some things. Well, absolutely. I disobeyed God one time and got sick. You mean, Pastor, you, the Holy Reverend, disobeyed God? Yeah, just like you have. Did God make you sick? Well, no, I got over on the devil's territory. You know what I learned out of that? Thou shalt not disobey the Lord. Y'all quiet like a, you know. Well, listen. See, I'm not saying God made me sick. This has been years ago. I'm sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost now. We're talking about many years ago. I did some things. I knew God didn't want me to do that. You know. And what was it? Well, it's none of your business. But, you know, and I ended up sick. And it wasn't like the Lord made me sick. It's just I got over on the devil's territory. I gave him a free shot. He took it. And so, you know, I had to repent. How many of Jonah got in trouble, didn't he? You know, how many of that wasn't the will of God? Right? See, what'd they have to do with Jonah? Remember that? They'd throw him overboard, right? I mean, the silly guy could have repented and stopped the whole storm and not got thrown overboard, but he chose that, right? That was his choice, right? It wasn't like God teaching him anything, like, you know, I'm going to teach Jonah in the belly of this fish, you know, I'm going to teach him something. Well, Jonah probably learned something, but it wasn't God's plan. God's plan was for him to go to Nineveh. But you know, he didn't want to go to Nineveh because he didn't like the Ninevites. I don't know if you know this, but it made him mad because God forgave him. He's told God, isn't this what I told you when we were in the, before I ever went, that you're compassionate and if I go preach to them and they repent, you'll forgive them. Jonah didn't want to forgive them. He wanted them burned. I remember that. He was mad. And the Lord said, do you do well to be mad unto death? He said, yes. So I guess he died mad. I hope he made heaven. I don't know. But anyway, he just had an issue with the Ninevites. There was prejudice there. He did not like them. And so he didn't want to go preach to them because he knew if he preached, they'd repent and God would forgive them and not destroy them. He wanted them destroyed. So just go ahead and destroy them. But it was his choice. How many know that? It wasn't God teaching him anything. It was this crazy guy just wouldn't obey. Well, I've been there before where, you know, God's dealing with me to do something and didn't do it, you know, and got in trouble. You know, God's merciful, they give you time, but you just keep disobeying. How many know you get in trouble? You know, like I've told you the story one time. He told me to call a guy and apologize to him, and I wouldn't do it. For 3 years, I wouldn't do it. The heavens turned brass. My prayer life dried up. It wasn't God's plan. It wasn't God doing it. It's my own stupid fault. Finally, I gave in, and on a Thursday afternoon, I think it was, or a Wednesday afternoon, I was in my study, you know, praying, trying to pray, not going anywhere, and God brought it up again. He said, yeah, why don't you call this guy and ask him to forgive you? I said, Lord, I didn't do anything to the guy. He said, but, you know, I mean, God doesn't have to explain himself. Come on. And so finally I realized if I'm ever going to get anywhere, if I'm ever going to grow anymore, I'm going to have to obey God. And I finally said this to God. I said, well, God, I don't understand why you want me to call this guy. I didn't do anything to this guy. I have nothing against this guy. He said, I don't want you to call him for your sake. I want you to call him for his sake. In other words, he needs to get that out of his life, this strife. Well, I thought, why didn't you tell me that to start with 3 years ago? I thought you were trying to get me to apologize to him for something I did to him, and I didn't do anything to him. I mean, God doesn't have to explain. And so I obeyed God, and guess what? The heavens, they broke open again. Well, it wasn't God trying to teach me anything. Sickness doesn't teach you anything. Tragedy doesn't teach you anything. It's the Holy Ghost that teaches you. Well, I believe God sent this virus to teach us something. I don't think God's into sin. God doesn't have any of this. How many know that?
Right.
We get this stuff comes because, listen, you want to know why this stuff comes? I'll tell you, you can read Deuteronomy 28 and find out why this stuff comes. This stuff comes because we don't walk in the Word of God. We don't walk in the will of God. We don't walk in God's commandments. Boy, it's quiet here. You said the modern preachers don't say that. I know, they don't say a lot of things. But it's just the truth. The Bible says, God said, if you'll obey me, all these blessings will come on you.
Right.
Talking to the nation.
Yeah.
and overtake you. If you disobey me, all these curses will come on you. It's not hard to look at America and see all the curses that are coming on America. And it's not hard to figure it out why. You used to walk with God. Amen. You know, church attendance on Sunday morning used to be about 70% of the country. It's about 30 now. So you tell me what's happening. The curse is coming on us. Now, God's not sending. It's just that we're getting out from underneath the blessing of God. Amen.
Amen.
See, we used to have a saying in Pentecost, get under the spout where the glory's coming out. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Well, that's up to us to get under the spout, right? See, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I'll heal their land. Well, the healing's available all the time. It's up to the people.
Amen.
What would happen to America if everybody truly got born again this morning and started serving God? You think of all of our problems would go away? You think this virus would disappear? I do. I believe a lot of things would disappear.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. That'd be a good thing, wouldn't it? Hallelujah. Amen. Now, John chapter 16, you got that? Verse 7, Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit. He said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient. Now, that word expedient means it's profitable. It's better for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter or the Helper will not come. But if I depart, I'll send him unto you. Now, how many know that probably sounded like that can't be true to his disciples? You have to understand, they left everything they had. They left their businesses. They're following Jesus. And their livelihoods depend on Jesus now. You know, they're not out fishing making a living. They're actually, we would say it this way, they're employed by Jesus Christ Evangelistic Association. Do you understand that? These people had to live just like we have to live, right? So they're getting a supply from someplace. It's Jesus. Judas was the treasurer. Jesus has income coming into his ministry. He's taking care of his 12 disciples plus their families. We never think about that, but that's what's going on. So now all of a sudden, he says, the head of the ministry says, I'm leaving, and it's better off for you that I leave. I mean, they're probably thinking there's just absolutely no way it's better off for you to go. I mean, what are we going to do now? Well, we know what Peter did, don't we? What'd he do? What'd he do? He went back fishing, didn't he? See, we just think, you know, he was having a bummer day, and he just, you know, I'm going to go cast a line. No, he went back to work. He went back to his business. He went and got his boat, his net. He went, I'm going back to work. I don't know what you other guys are doing, but he's gone. I'm going back to work, you know. But how many know he wasn't gone for long, right? Hallelujah. I love that story. Yes. Amen. Children, have you caught anything yet? No. Amen. Well, let me just say this to you. Jesus is saying this. He says, because if I don't go, the Holy Spirit won't come. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, here's what he means. See, how many know Jesus, when he came down here, he took on a physical body, didn't he? In other words, he was just like you and I in the sense that he had a physical body. You could feel it. It was just like yours. And he could only be one place at one time. That's it. He couldn't be everywhere at once, just like you can't be. But he said, I'm going to send you another comforter, someone just like me. Only he's not going to just be with you, he's going to be in you. In other words, you're going to take him with you everywhere you go. See, if I'm with you, I can help you out. But if I'm gone, you're on your own. But when he comes, he's going to live inside of you. Hallelujah. I don't think that revelation has hit us quite yet, that there's someone living inside of us that's greater. The greater one's living inside of us. Amen? Now, verse 12 says this, I have yet many things to say unto you. So Jesus said, I got a lot of things, a lot more things to teach you. But you can't bear them now. In other words, you couldn't handle them now. You couldn't receive them now. Now, it would just seem like to me, if Jesus wanted to teach it, he could get it across. But he's saying, without the Holy Spirit, the teacher, you can't get these things. See, We think, well, you know, I just decided to believe. No, the reason you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is because of the Holy Spirit. When you think about the story of the gospel, it doesn't compute mentally. What does Jesus dying on the cross 2,000 years ago have to do with me? And the fact that he was born of a virgin, I mean, come on. How many know it takes the Holy Spirit to put that in you, to teach you, and for you to believe that? You have to open yourself up. So he's taught you. Hallelujah. If you're saved, you've been taught by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. He says, now notice this. Verse 12, he said, I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he'll guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he'll show you things to come. So Jesus is just simply telling his disciples, he said, when he comes, we'll be able to continue, I'll be able to continue teaching you through him. He said, I have many things to say unto you, but you can't receive them now. Well, how many believe that he finally got those many things out? He did. How did he get them out? Well, he got them out through the writings of the gospel writers, the writers of the epistles, Paul and Peter, James and so forth. He got the things out. Those aren't just words of men. Man, those are the words of the head of the church. Yeah. Hallelujah. I believe all scripture, man, is of God. Yeah. Amen? Amen. You know, I think we should keep every book of the Bible, don't you?
Amen.
Now, let's go to Timothy, 2 Timothy. And let's read a scripture over there, 2 Timothy chapter 3, I believe it is. Excuse me, chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Just talking about, we're going to really get into some really good things. This is kind of just a little bit of a foundation this morning, but we're going to really step into some things as we get into this. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Got it? All right, verse 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. How much scripture? Now, that word inspiration of God means it's God breathed. In other words, the Holy Spirit's breathed the scriptures out.
Yeah.
Amen. And it's profitable. Hallelujah. Well, how many know if something's profitable? How many know you ought to partake of it? It's profitable. Amen. You know, certain things are profitable for your life. You partake of those things that are profitable. Right? You know, certain foods are profitable for you. Certain foods are probably not so profitable for you. So you shouldn't probably try to partake of those as much, right? Think about it. You know, I'm not going to say that. I started to say what I like, but then I ended up getting it, and I don't need it. You know, when I talk about Oreos, I got a lot of Oreos. I like Oreos, but I had to put them in the freezer, you know, so they'd stay good. But all right, I like Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. To me, you know, that's the ultimate when it comes to candy. Maybe you like something else. I don't know. But you know, here's what I've learned. Don't try to live on those. Those are, yeah, Preston, don't try to live on those. Those are a treat. Everybody say treat.
Treat.
I mean, you can have them some, but if that's what you try to sustain your life on, it's not going to be very profitable for you. There's going to be some things end up happening to your body. Well, I don't know. I just don't feel like I got a lot of energy. Well, I don't know. Oh, my sugar's way high. I must have something wrong with me. Yeah, you do. It's what you're sticking in your body. Now, I'm not one of these people, you know, I'm not a real strict diet person like some people are. God bless them. If you can do that, that's great. You know, people go on these diets, you know, and I think, you know, I can't live that way. If you can, thank you, great. But, you know, people are, you know, you can't have any bread. Well, I just assume go to heaven. There's bread up there. Praise God.
Yes.
That's a little bit of a joke, but still, you know, I'm not going to live that way. I've just found out if you just be moderate about everything, which I'm working on that, you know, I think you'll be all right. So, but here's the thing. There are some things that are profitable for you. You decide what's profitable for you, right? The Word of God's profitable for you. This shouldn't be like your treat, like your Twinkies or... I don't even think you should put those in your mouth at all. But anyway, let's try something a little bit better. Like Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Chocolate's got some redeeming value, I know. Amen. Now, you know, but I mean, that shouldn't be your main diet, right? Well, because it's not profitable for you. It's a pleasure, but it's not profitable. See, certain things are profitable for you. You know, like certain meats and veggies and so forth, that's profitable for you. Fruits, that's profitable for you. That should be your main diet. The Word of God's profitable for you. Why are people living off the news and, you know, radio and all kinds of things? It's not profitable. It's not profiting you. Why not do something that's profitable? Amen. I mean, you know, if somebody comes and says, hey, I want you to invest $5,000, it's not very profitable, but, you know, we just need the money. How many of you say, I'm not going to do that? But if it's profitable, that's a different thing. So all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine. See, this is where our doctrine ought to come from, the Word of God, not some made-up thing. For reproof, you know, that means getting on to, right? I said, right? For correction, for instruction in righteousness. Let's stop there. See, here's the problem that we have in the church today. I don't know we had a problem in the church today. Well, we do. Here's the problem in the church today is everybody wants to be so positive all the time. Everybody wants to be so feely good all the time. We never preach sermons that will make you feel bad because you won't come. Well, you're not helping them. Right? See, listen, I'm going to say some things kind of strong, and I hope you'll hear me out. But we have a terrible thing going on in the church right now. And here's the thing. The privates, the sergeants, have taken over and kicked the generals out. What do I mean by that? See, when I was coming up in the church, we looked up to our elder preachers. We fed off them. We respected them. We learned from them. Today, they've kicked them out because they're not cool enough. They don't dress cool enough. They don't have their hair cool enough. Man, they don't even have all their hair. Their teeth aren't always white. They can't give you that little smiley grin. Friends. They don't have that. They don't have the skinny jeans on. The $5,000 tennis shoes. We've kicked them out and replaced them with these people, and we are literally doing damage to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to get to the place people don't even know how to be saved any longer if we keep this up. We've got to install the generals of the faith back where they belong in the church, which is leading it. See, because the young guys, all they have now is a message. No, not all of them. So don't, this isn't a broad swipe, but it's pretty close. All they have is make you feel good. Well, you know, we believe in faith. How many believe in faith? Yes. I mean, I'm a word of faith guy to the core. Have been for, you know, almost 40 years. Haven't changed my message. But all along the years, I still taught you got to live right. You got to deal with sin. You got to tithe. You get to tithe. Hallelujah. You need to be consecrated, dedicated, educated. Not inflated. You know, and that's all changed. It's like, well, we don't say anything contrary. They won't even preach on tongues any longer. I've got a friend. He's an evangelist. Well, it's Jody, Brother Jody. Remember Brother Jody comes here? He's going to be here. He was going to be here this month he was going to be here, but we had to reschedule him. But anyway, he told me, he said, I go to churches now, and he said, I go preaching. And he said, they're supposed to be word churches, you know, Spirit-filled churches. He said, they'll tell me, now we don't want any Holy Spirit stuff on Sunday morning. We reserve that, you know, for when all the visitors aren't here. Like God, you know. That's almost like, you know, it's like Dr. Barclay said one time. He said, that's like if I invite you over to my house, but I hide Vicky in the closet. You know, that's his wife, because she offends people. So we'll spring her out, you know, when you're all good and warmed up. Well, here's Vicky, all right. I mean, that's kind of offensive to Vicky, right? I mean, you know, the Holy Spirit's probably, why are you putting me in the closet? What do you mean I offend people? The Holy Spirit doesn't offend people. We offend people. You couldn't get any more of, you know, drug user kind of type guy than what I was before I got saved. And the church I went to did not know anything about being user friendly. Well, that when the Revival Center, when I first went there, it was a log cabin. Not when I first went there, but it was a log cabin. Then it progressed to a pole barn. I got there in the pole barn stage, okay? That's all it is. This is before they built their new church. We built a new church, but it was a pole barn. It was basically a one-room deal. There might have been a few little rooms around there. But when I walked in, I mean, here I am. I'm listening to Led Zeppelin, ZZ Top, Sweet Home Alabama, where skies are so blue. Oh, sorry. I'm listening to all that. That's my life. And I walk in there, and I walk in this church, and they're up front praying in tongues. My first thought was, are there Russians here? I didn't know what's going on. And they, you know, and they, the old Pentecost, they were like springboards. They'd sit down, and if they liked the song, they'd stand up. Am I telling the truth?
Yeah.
Up, down, up, down, up, down. They didn't like that song, they sat down. We just make y'all stand up the whole time. You know. Now, if you sit down, we know what's going on. You don't like that song. But am I telling the truth? You guys were in Old Pentecost. Yeah, up, down, up, down, up, down. You know, and so, you know, but I remember, you know, they'd give out messages in tongues and somebody would interpret it. And I remember the first one I heard, I never heard one before. You kidding me? People said, tongues is of the devil. You gotta be crazy, man. I hung around with the devil. Nobody ever came to me and said, hey, let's go do a hit of tongues. I never went to the bar and it said, you know, Jack Daniels and Coke, you know, Bacardi's and Coke, or tongues. Man, if the devil would have had it, we'd have found it. We'd have done it. I didn't hear about that until I got in church. And so, you know, they give messages in tongues and then somebody interpreted. And I had hair in those days, so understand my safety. The hair on the back of my head just like it stood straight up like, choo. My thought was, man, that's supernatural. I don't belong in here. If I get out here alive, I ain't coming back. We see what happened was because they didn't, that was my natural man. That's what my natural man said. See, that's the natural man. But if it's the true power of God, it gets inside a person. And that got inside of me. And I thought, you know, because I thought, man, I don't know if I'll get out here alive. These people are wild, man. But if I do, I have made a mistake. I would not be back. But you know what? Something would happen. When service time would come around the next Sunday, now I didn't know about Sunday. I didn't go Sunday morning. I didn't go Wednesday night, you know. I was sleeping in on Sunday morning, but I go Sunday night. And so with Sunday night, something would be pulling me back to that church. See what happened? I got something in that service. I got a deposit, see. See, sometimes we think if the Holy Ghost isn't like blasting loud, nothing's happening, but something's happening. Amen? Amen? See, it wasn't church friendly, but it sure got me in the kingdom. How? And I must have got something, you know. Here I am about 40 years later, and I'm still going. Praise God. Hallelujah. See, what's happening today is a lot of this is being preached. It's not sustainable for people's spiritual lives. It feels good. It sounds good. But it's just about like watching Oprah with a little word in it, some scriptures sprinkled in. That's no offense against Oprah. She's not who you want to follow to get your spiritual advice off of. No offense to her, but I'd follow somebody that knows God, Jesus Christ as God. Amen. See, the Holy Ghost's not, you know, sometimes what the Holy Ghost is teaching me, I mean, I'm going to have this vibrations and shake and all that, would probably be the devil. If you have that all the time. I mean, the Holy Ghost does do supernatural manifestations. I'm just making a point. He's not always flamboyant. You know, Dr. Summerall was preaching in England. You know, how many ever heard of Dr. Lester Summerall? He's in heaven right now, but he used to pastor what was the city he pastored? South Bend. And he pastored a church there, but he's a missionary too, you know. And then, but he pastored a church there in South Bend. But he was over in England before he was pastoring a church, and he was traveling as a missionary. And he was traveling with a guy named Howard Carter for the Assemblies of God. Howard Carter is the one that gave us the revelation about the gifts of the Spirit when the church didn't know anything about them. And so he's traveling with him, a great man of God, Howard Carter was. And so they'd have these meetings, and he said, you know, one time they were having an evangelistic meeting, you know, and you know, just like a several day one. And he said Howard Carter had invited Smith Wigglesworth to come and preach, the great English preacher, you know, from Bradford, that saw all the miracles, the people raised from the dead. Y'all heard of him, right? We probably have a series about him here, maybe on the media counter. I don't know if it's still available or not, but about his life. And so he was a powerful man of God. I mean, today, people still feed off of his stuff and, you know, want to emulate him, you know. But he saw, I don't know how many people raised from the dead in his ministry. I could tell you some stories that are just outstanding that were verified, you know, that, you know, where people got raised from the dead. Well, he said, you know, I'm preaching in this meeting, you know, and Wigglesworth is preaching, he's teaching. Wigglesworth was a Bible teacher. And so that Howard Carter have him do the day teachings, you know, and then he'd have an evangelistic service of the night, which Brother Summerall was an evangelist at the time. And so he asked Brother Summerall to speak of the night services. Well, Brother Summerall said, you know, I mean, I'd heard of Wigglesworth, you know, I'd heard of him, and there he is on the platform when I'm getting ready to preach. So this great man of God sitting on the platform. He said, so I get up and preach, and when I get done, he said, there's a tap on my shoulder. He turns around, it's Wigglesworth. He said, young man, you need to come and see me. He thought, well, I'm in trouble here. I mean, you know, I believe the only I preach something, he's going to correct it or whatever, you know. And so he said, well, I'd love to come and see you. He said, can I come anytime? He said, come anytime. Gave him his card, you know, and the address where he lived at. And he said, about 2 weeks later, I showed up at his house, you know. He said, you know, I came there, you know, I looked like all the other English people. I started dressing like them, you know, had the umbrella, you know, the black jacket on, the what do they call those little round hats, you know, like Charlie Chapman used to wear. Anyway, you know, he's wearing one of those. He said, I look just like him. He said, I had my, you know, my briefcase, and I had a newspaper in my arm. He said, Wigglesworth and came to the door. He said, he always dressed just immaculate. He said, even at home, he's dressed in a suit just immaculate, just immaculate. And he said, you know, he was in his 80s at the time. He said, Wigglesworth opens the door. He sees me. He says, what's up? He said, well, that's a newspaper, sir. He said, throw it in the bushes. I don't allow lies in my house. So he said, he made me throw my newspaper. He wouldn't even allow it in his house. And he said, so I come in there. And he says, Wigglesworth, he says, sit down. And he says, he just starts reading the Bible to me. And just reading the Bible. He said, now let's pray. So he'd pray. Then he'd read the Bible some more. Then he'd pray. Then he'd read the Bible more. Then he'd pray. He said, that's all he did. He said, finally, he said, I'm tired. I'm going to go take a nap. He said, just walked off. He said, I thought, that's my cue to go. So he said, you know, I had his daughter give me my coat. And I left. And he said, when I got out of the house, I thought, what in the world was that? All he did was read the Bible to me and pray. He said, I walked a little bit more and he said, wait a minute. I got something out of that. I got an impartation out of that. See, he was expecting something, you know, this man of God, known for miracles, he was expecting something just exuberant, something wild to happen. And all he did was read the Bible to him and pray with it, but he got something out of it. He said, I found myself just going there as often as I could. I'd go there. And he just started imparting to me. We got to be hungry for the things of God. Amen? Now, all right, finally, did you get something today?
Yes.
I don't know how long I've been going. But anyway, long enough. Verse 17, he says, that the man of God or the woman of God may be perfect. The King James uses the word thoroughly, but it means thoroughly. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Well, I mean, it's the word that's going to cause you to be furnished with everything that you need. It's if you're lacking something, how do you know it's right here in the Word of God? I said it's right here in the Word. Right here in the Bible. Praise God. You know, I don't know how many times that over the years that, you know, I just needed something. Sometimes you don't even know what you need. But all of a sudden, man, it comes alive in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I've had God just take pieces of Scripture, revelation of Scripture, and just change your life with it. But see, it's the Holy Spirit. What's the Holy Spirit going to use? He's going to use the Word of God.
Amen.
You find in the Gospels that after Jesus had already went to heaven, you know, he'd been crucified, came back, and, you know, he appeared to his disciples, then he went to heaven, that you'd find things where it says the disciples remembered that the Lord said this to them. It was the Holy Spirit bringing it back to them. He'll do the same thing for you. You know, He'll quicken Scripture to you. He'll quicken words to you. A lady, she used to, well, she'd come around this area, and, well, not this area, but where I was from, formerly. Pastor Chuck and I, some other people in here, were pikers. And so we happen to know that God favors that county.
Yeah.
And that good things can come out of there, you know. And, you know, when we die, that's where he and I, we want to go. We're going back to Pike County. Hallelujah. It's like my mom was witnessing to a guy. She's at the gas station. You know, he was cleaning her window. She said, "You know where you go, where you're going to go when you die?" He said, "Yeah, New Jersey." She let him know, "No, if you don't get saved, it's going to be a lot worse than New Jersey." I really don't want to go to Pike County when I die. I want to go to heaven. Amen. But Pastor Chuck's going to be the mayor of Verstindo when we in the new heavens, you know, in the millennium. Actually, I think he's been more faithful than that. I think God will give him at least Otwell. Hallelujah. But now I don't even know where I was going. Praise God. But the Word of God, see, the Holy Spirit reveals the Word to us. That's what he's saying here. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God breathed by the Holy Spirit, and it's good. See, if the word we hear, if we're coming to church on Sunday mornings and the word we hear never reproves us, never corrects us, then we're not hearing, we're not getting fed the full counsel of God. Now, that doesn't mean every service. I've been there too. For every service, you dirty, rotten sinners and all that. You know what I'm saying? You know, I've been there, you know, where they every service you feel like, you know, man, you're worthless. I mean, that's not God either. His word will lift you up and build you up. But it does correct you at the same time, but it doesn't beat you up. It just corrects you. Right? I mean, think what the world will be like without correction. Think what your kids will be like without correction. You ever seen those parents that raise their kids that way, that they listen to Dr. Spock, you know, from the 60s who said, "Don't ever spank your kids"? And today, you almost go to jail for doing it. But in our day, I mean, it seemed to work. Now, that doesn't mean beat them or hurt them or injure them, but God gave them some little extra padding back there for some reason. Not just so they could sit around and do nothing. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I just happen to believe Dr. Spock. Yeah, well, you know what? Those kids that were raised by Dr. Spock's advice turned out to be problem childs, because it lacked something called correction. Can you imagine what a child would be like if all you ever told them is, "Oh, you're wonderful, honey. You're good. You're wonderful. Well, you need to tell them that. How many of you know that? You need to enforce your love for them and put in them self-confidence. But you got to correct too, right? I heard one preacher say, you know, we were at this pastor's house, minister's house, never corrected these kids. He said, my wife's laying there on the couch and said one of them came up and spit in her face. She got up and getting ready to grab a hold of him before she realized it wasn't her kid. And the guy said, "Oh, we never spank them." Well, that's why they spit in people's face. You know what my dad would have done to me if I'd have spit in somebody's face? I wouldn't be here today. I'd still be recovering. It's good preaching, isn't it? How many know God's the same way, right? He's not going to just give us candy and fluff all the time. If it's the Holy Spirit, there's going to be correction. There's going to be instruction. There's going to be doctrine. There's going to be reproof. It's all going to be in there. And there's going to be encouragement. Hallelujah. It's like my pastor said. See, most ministers today are so fragile, so frail. They can't take correction, let alone give it. But I never forget Dr. Barclay telling one time, he said, I was talking to Dr. Summerall about something one day and telling him what I believed about something. And he said, when I got done, he said, "Mark, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard you say." Now see, about a third of you got offended right there, see. You've been watching those smiley, toothy preachers too long. See, he didn't get offended by that. He thought, "I got to find out what I said. It was so stupid." See, he realized if this general said that, he must have said something stupid. His own pastor told me, he said his own pastor called him one day, which is John Osteen. See, Brother Osteen, John Osteen, I'm talking about John, not Joel. John Osteen was a preacher of preachers. Amen. He was pretty nice in the pulpit, but Dr. Barclay said you got him behind the scenes and he was a general. And he said, you know, he said, he called me one day and he said, Mark, I got something I want you to listen to. And he said, all of a sudden I hear me preaching. It's cassette tapes. He put a cassette tape in a tape player and laid the phone by it. And he said, he was gone for about 5, 10, 15 minutes. I'm just listening to me preaching. He said, about, you know, 5, 10, 15 minutes later, he picked up the phone and said, who was that preaching? He said, well, Pastor, that was me. He said, that's what I thought. He said, don't ever say it that way again. Bye. He said, I thought to myself, what way did I say it? So he said, I called their office and said, do you know what tape Pastor Osteen just played to me of mine? I said, yeah, we got it. He said, mail it to me. I need to listen to the whole thing. See, young preachers still need that today. But they won't take correction today, and they won't correct people today. And the Holy Spirit's not able to teach like He'd like to teach. Amen. Did you get anything today? Praise God. We need it all. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.